I'm always glad to be at Shoal Creek. I love Shoal Creek Church. It's been a blessing through the year to come down here a lot. And I believe God gave me a message. I had it the other day. He gave me a message, I really think. And I'm just hoping he'll bless me to preach it. So I hope you'll be in prayer.
Amen.
And I want to, I'm not putting on a show. I'm just trying to preach. So sometimes I get nervous, but I'm not trying to put on a show. And I know you think that. I don't want you to think that. I just want to preach in a way that will glorify God and that will edify you. And the text he gave me was over in Matthew 2:11. I'm going to read that and then read down to it. I'm going to read the text first and read down to it. And my thing is, I want you to be truly wise. I think that we got a lesson here to show us how to be truly wise. And I'd like to be wiser and wiser in this coming year. So this will also fit the time of the year because it's talking about the wise men. So let's read the text first of all. I'm going to turn your watch on in case I don't ever turn it on really off too. All right. Here we go now, Matthew 2:11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's a very familiar text. Let's read down to that, starting in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Then Herod, when he had privily called his wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring the word to me again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, that departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And before I read my text again, let me say something about that. You know, God doesn't always reveal himself to us in a powerful way. He's always there. And sometimes God gives us direction, and then we don't really feel anything much, but we got to keep on being faithful anyway, right? Even you don't feel like being faithful. Then, every now and then, God will let you see again. You're on the right pathway. Mm-hmm. And you rejoice with exceeding great joy. They saw this star one time in East, evidently. And they traveled in the strength of that sighting. And they just had to keep on going, probably a long distance, and didn't feel anything. But boy, when they saw that star again, they really rejoiced. And so keep on trucking, because sometimes you don't feel like serving God, because we're sinners and we live in an ungodly world. You keep on going. Every now and then, God will let himself, he'll show himself to you in a special way, make everything okay. You're doing the right thing, worshiping God today. You young people, I've been serving God for a long time. I'm 81 years old. I'm an old cotton picker. And I'm telling you, the one way to live is serving God. That's the only way. He's good enough to live by. He's good enough to die by. And every now and then, he'll let you feel his presence. And you'll say, I think you're okay. You know, we sing the song, just one glimpse of him in glory. All the total life we pay. Well, just one look to him here will all the total life we pay too. Sometimes he'll let us feel his presence. Or anyway, let's look at our text. Wise men. You want to be wise? I want to be wise. I want to be wise. I want to do what these men did. They did two things. I want to concentrate on those. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child, Mary, with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. I want to talk a little bit about worship today. I want to learn how to worship God better. I got baptized when I was 13 years old. I try to serve God. I want to learn how to worship my God better. I really do. But they didn't only worship him. Look what they did then. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts and of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave him the best they had. So I got some notes right here, some scriptures I want to read to you. Let's talk about worship, first of all. We ought to worship God. I've got a few texts. I'll read some of them and some of them I'll quote. Over in Hebrews 1:6, it says, and when he brought the first, God the Father, when he brought the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And they are worshiping him.
Yeah.
I'll read it to you in a minute, but over Revelation it said, talking about the angels, and they rest not day and night, say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And we'll join them someday. So when you're in your song service, or even if you don't have to be in a song service, we can kind of join the angels and worship him. Let all the angels of God worship him. And I'll give a few scriptures that you might want to think about these. So the scriptures help us to worship God. You know, when Paul got born again, he was excited. He was excited. Think about how excited Paul was. He thought he had done right, but he had done wrong. He wasn't born again yet. He was persecuting Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He got his eyes opened up, and he lived a life of suffering. He was willing to do it. So in 1 Timothy 1:16, it talks about Paul getting born again. Then look at verse 17. 1 Timothy 1:17. You know this. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Sometimes do it when you're out there by yourself. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. This happened to me a lot. Not every time, but it happened to me a lot. Sometimes we're singing. I'm glad we sing. And so when I do something a little unusual, nobody knows about it because we're singing anyway. So sometimes when we're singing, I just feel like saying, praise God or hallelujah. And you know what God does? He opens up the floodgate and I just start rejoicing. My friend, there's nothing like that. Praising God. And let me say this too. Some people say, well, I can't praise God. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I'm worthy. That has nothing to do with it. Let me ask you a question. I want you to answer this now out loud. Does God always deserve our worship?
Yes.
All right, I get the right answer. You're right. He always deserves our worship. If you don't feel like worshiping God, worship him anyway. You don't think you're worthy, worship him anyway. Worship God. You're not being a hypocrite. You worship God. Now, you'd be a hypocrite if you say, I feel like worshiping God, and you don't feel like it, that'd be a hypocrite. But if you worship God, if you don't feel like it, that's not being a hypocrite. You're doing what's right. Right? Just worship him all the time. We need to be worshiping. That will, it releases something in us when we worship God. So, okay, now, 1 Timothy 6. I think I might turn over there. I might not get all that. This is amazing. Listen. When we see God, it's not going to be any problem worshiping him. We see him by faith here, it's not any problem worshiping him. But I'll tell you what, when we see God, let me tell you what's going to happen when you see the Lord. You're going to break out and shout the praise and never quit. Heaven's not going to be a dull place. You're going to enjoy that. My friend, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, like that song, Face to Face with Christ our Savior, we see him as he is and see how beautiful he is, how precious he is and wonderful he is, we're going to cut loose and worship him forever and forever and forever. All right. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll start in verse 15 here, okay? Which in his time he shall show to the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now listen to this. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach into, whom no man hath seen or can see, to be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I'm going to read that again and read it a little slower so you can get it. Listen, he is a bright God. You couldn't face him right now in the condition we're in. Peter, James, and John saw a little bit of his glory on a Mount of Transfiguration, and it changed their lives. Jesus Christ, his glory was veiled in his flesh. Someday we'll see him in his full glory. It's going to be, we'll be activated. We can do it because we'll have resurrected, glorified bodies. We could, right now, it'd wipe us out if we saw his glory. He just lets us see a little bit of it every now and then. Let me read it to you again. Verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach into, whom no man hath seen or can see, to be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, let me say this something about Paul and what you ought to be doing. My friend, I want to encourage you this year, live a life of praise. Live a life of doxology. Say, what do you mean, Brother Zach, living a life of praise? You can't go around saying praise God all the time. Well, but here's what you got to do. Have you ever heard of an Old Faithful affair in Yellowstone Park? That's a geyser. And that thing usually is not doing anything. It's just bubbling. It's bubbling all the time. It's bubbling all the time. But every now and then on time, it erupts, right? That's how we ought to be living. That praise ought to be bubbling in us all the time. And every now and then, it ought to erupt in a manifest way. That's how Paul lived. If you read Paul's letters, he would go ahead and be teaching doctrine, just great doctrine. We love his doctrine. Teaching, and all of a sudden, whammo, he starts praising God. He can't hide it. It just busts out. So that's how you and I need to live. We're living a life of praise. We always love God. But every now and then, it just erupts. Lots of times in the church services, sometimes when we're by ourselves. Let me give you a few verses now that you may help you. I'll quote this, I think. This is the last two verses of Jude. So, we got to use the Bible to be our praise book. How do I learn how to pray? I'll read the Bible. Let me just read it to you. I'm afraid some of these I might not get. I just want to read it to you. I can quote it most of the time, but I want to read it to you. So what am I saying? I'm saying I want you to use this in a way to learn how to praise God better. We can say these words and ask God to help us to say it in the Spirit of the Lord. Now look on the last two verses of Jude, only one chapter, verses 24 and 25. Try this. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And that's going to be exceeding joy. I'll read that verse again. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, and brothers and sisters, he is going to keep you from falling. You may get out of fellowship with God every now and then, but not completely. God will restore you and bring you back to him. You may be cold today. Take heart. Turn to God Almighty. Ask him to manifest his presence to you. I'll carry you. He'll do it. You're not going to fall out of his hands. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you, and he will someday, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can you believe that? You got a lot of sins, right? I got a lot of sins. I don't know how many sins I got. I sin all the time. But every one of those was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, because of that, he is going to present me faultless before God the Father. Not one thought, not one sin that's all taken care of. So I will have exceeding joy. If you think you've been happy now, you know what happy is. We're before the presence of Jesus Christ, having a clean conscience and have no sin. That's what exceeding joy is. So then he gets pretty excited. And you ought to do this too. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Memorize that verse. Wrote it around your tongue a few times this year. See what it'll do for you. It's better than any kind of bed you can take. Now to him that's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, the only wise God, be honor and glory, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to the book of Revelation. That's a great book. I'm going to go to three places and show you some of the heavenly scenes of rejoicing and praising God and worshiping God. We're talking about worship now. I'm not talking about bringing sacrifices yet. The wise men did two things, right? They fell down on their faces before him and worshiped. Then they brought him presents. Now, I want to talk right now a little bit more about worship. Then we'll talk about some of the presents. Look over in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm going to start in verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. This is a great scene of Revelation, of worship. And the four beasts, this is verse 8, had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not, this is what I quoted, they rest not day and night. Say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor unto and thanks to him that sat on his throne, who liveth forever and forever, the 24 elders fall down before him. They're worshiping him. And they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and y'all sung this before, because I know you sing some scripture songs. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Listen, folks, we ought to worship God because he's our creator, right? I don't believe in evolution. You believe in evolution? I think evolutionists are world-class fools. They are. Because the Bible said there's the fool has said in his heart there's no God. I love the creation God's given us. And we look at a cursed creation. What it must have been when before it got cursed. Even driving down here to Shoal Creek, I love to look at some of these fields and some of this pretty country in Georgia, but I'm looking at cursed creation. What it must have been before, it was cursed. But, my friend, even better than that, get this now, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That is going to be something else. So we ought to worship God because He is our Creator, right? Now let's go to another worship scene. Another worship scene in the fifth chapter of Revelation. I'm going to go to three worship scenes here. Revelation is filled with worship scenes. Let me see what verses I want to get. Well, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a short chapter. Let's read this chapter, fifth chapter of Revelation. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. Now, this is not the book of life. Some people have thought this is the book of life. That's a great book. This is the book of history. My friend, his history is his story. God's controlling history even right now. I want to encourage you, we can look about and see how the world is going to pot, and you can see that, but don't get discouraged. God's still on His throne. I don't totally understand why He's letting things happen like they are, but I trust my God. You can put your faith in God. Listen, He still is the same God that Nebuchadnezzar recognized after he got humbled down in Daniel 4:35. He's even right now through His will and the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody can even stay His hand or question Him, saying, hey, what doest thou? Our God is in the heavens. He's doing whatsoever He pleases. He's ruling and reigning. So this is the book of history. God got this thing. Listen, God is controlling history. God's not being defeated. Some people think God being defeated. He's not being defeated at all. And we're not either because we're on His side, right? Amen. We're enjoying victory right now. We'll see ultimate victory one of these days. Take heart, child of God. I sat in the right, saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to open the seals thereof? Pretty good question, right? Who is going to be able to control history? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Nobody could do the task. And so John was sad about that. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He's pretty sad right now. And one of the elders says unto him, weep not, and I'm going to say to you, weep not. I'm going to say to you, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals thereof. The seven seals thereof. Now let me read this next verse. This verse gives me goosebumps. And I'll tell you why in a minute. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven seals, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. That's how, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this verse, though. I can just see this. I'm going to tell you a minute. I read a commentary on this one time, and I just thrilled my soul. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. All right, here we go now. Here we are. Who's going to control history? Where are we going to put our faith in? I am a loyal American citizen. I've been out of this country lots of times on mission trips. I always come back and want to kiss the ground and glad I'm home. But I'm telling you, the U.S. is not what we worship. I love our Constitution. I love our founding father. I love our history. That's not where it's at. The United Nations is not where it's at. No, people have all these schemes they put faith in and different politicians. Brother, the Lamb of God, you know what He did? It's not crude. Give me that book. That's what He did. Give me that book. I control history. That's the one that just gives me goosebumps. Give me that book. Don't give me the Constitution, even though I love it. Don't give me the Declaration of Independence, though I love it. Don't give me our glorious history, even though I do love it. But my brother, that's not where my ultimate faith is. My ultimate faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who controls history. And give me that book. So then, look what happens when he got the book. John's not going to be crying anymore. And when he had taken the book, the four and beast and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Get this wonderful song that they were singing, and we can join to some extent even now, and we'll fully in heaven. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God with thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and have made unto us and to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I beheld, this is a wonderful worship scene. And my brother, when you meet on Sundays here at this church at Shoal Creek, you do approximate something like this. We want to do it better and better, don't we? And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's quite a number, isn't it? And thousands of thousands sang with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. What a wonderful worship scene. Yeah. I got one more. There's more than that in Revelation, but I'm going to give you the 1 and 19 chapter. You know, church is supposed to be kind of like a little heaven on earth, really. And I believe Shoal Creek is.
Amen.
I believe you love each other.
Yeah.
I'm glad you do.
Hallelujah.
I believe you love each other as a family.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got warts. We've got sins. We can irritate each other. Listen, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and love each other. "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. Let the world see your love you have for each other. For God Almighty, brothers and sisters, I believe you're letting your light shine. When I've been down here, it's been shining pretty bright. Keep it burning. Keep it burning." Look at Revelation 19 now. Amazing scene. Now what we have here is actually, you know, I don't like what's going on in the world, lady. Y'all, I don't like abortion. I don't like immorality. I don't like the crazy stuff that's going on today. My soul is revolted. We've all got a sense of justice built into us. We see so much injustice in the whole history of the world. But my friend, someday, I'm telling you, every wrong is going to be made right. Nobody is going to get by with anything. God's children get by because only their sins are placed on Christ. He's going to rule this world someday and come to judgment, and then you and I are going to be extremely excited.
Amen.
Let's read the Revelation 19, a few verses. We'll see what a great thing that is. They're worshiping God because he is exercising his judgment, my friend, his righteous judgment.
Amen.
Beginning in verse 1, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." It'd be good to even memorize that verse. If you don't remember it, read it every now and then. And say, "God, these are my sentiments." Say it to God. Say, "Lord, I want to say something here. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to you, Lord our God." Say it to him personally sometime. See if that won't help you a little bit. "And true and righteous are thy judgments," or his judgments, "for he hath judged the great whore, which is the enemy of God's people, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah." Men are getting excited. "And a voice came out of the throne saying," this is a divine worship leader.
Mm.
So many churches got worship leaders. Brother, this is a divine worship leader.
Right.
"And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Boy, when he said that, it all cut loose. And I heard, as it were, listen, the voice of a great multitude. Have you ever been to a football stadium? Maybe a couple hundred thousand people, brother. They can make a lot of racket, can't they? He said, "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and is the voice of many waters. I've heard, I went to Niagara Falls one time, back in 1959. Man, I was awed by hearing that powerful sound. So he's giving us an approximation of what it's going to be like. Here's a big multitude, the voice of many waters, and of the mighty thundering. We sometimes have a thunderstorm. That mighty power of God is manifested. He's just drawing these word pictures of an incredible worship scene that we cannot even imagine. Saying, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent. That word omnipotent means all-powerful. It's the Pantocrator in the Greek. Pantocrator. I get goosebumps when I say that word, my friend. It's the omnipotent God. The Lord God ruleth. Let us rejoice and be glad. Well, I won't read the rest of that. That's what I want to get down to. Alleluia, the Lord. Okay, now look. I've talked about worship. I've been imperfect, but I've tried to give you some hints. Use the Bible for your worship book. Use the Bible for your prayer book. You can take prayer out of the Bible and pray them to God. You can take worship scenes out of the Bible and worship God. Use the Bible to be your worship book. And let's learn how to worship God even better. But now I want to talk about sacrifice. We need to be regrained. Well, no, I got one more. I can't skip this one. I think Jimmy gets this memorized. This is an old chapter over in 1 Chronicles 29. I don't have this memorized yet, but I'm going to work on it. Look over 1 Chronicles. I don't want to skip this one. I hope I'm giving you some places you can read and think about and meditate on and practice here. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I don't leave this one out. I've got to memorize this. So I guess I've got to do it. All right. I'm going to read verse 10 through 13, I think it is here. Let's see. Where am I at? No, this, okay, I'm wrong. It's a second problem, I guess. Let's see. Oh, it's 20. Help me find it, Jimmy. That's it, isn't it? All right, here we go. All right, y'all ready for this? Man, this is something else. First Chronicles 29, start at verse 10. Ready? Ready?
Yep.
Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord. Now get this. This would be good to memorize. I want to memorize this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Man, for all that is in the earth, in the heaven, and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou rulest, and thou art exalted as ruler, as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. So, I don't want to leave that now. Make a mark on that. I'm going to read this week sometime, 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. I'm going to worship my God. But I want to talk about sacrifice now. Oh, well, let me just two more things here. So, Brother Zach, I just can't praise God. Got two scriptures for you. Ready? This will help you. Look over in Psalm 142, verse 7. There's a prayer there. You might want to pray this prayer. Psalm 142, verse 7. Let my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Sometimes our souls get in prison. I get to looking at my own sins and I get in prison. I look at my failures, I get in prison. I look at bad things happening, I get in prison. So I got to pray God, so I guess I concentrate on myself too much and on what's going on around me too much. I need to keep my eye on God, let my soul out of prison, I may praise thy name. What a prayer.
Yeah,
and also over in Psalm 51, verse 15, now this is a good one. This David had sinned against God in a horrible way. We know what his sin was. No sense going over it right now. He had sinned against God in a horrible way. He felt terrible. He should have felt terrible when God convicted him. He said here in Psalm 51:15, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And God did that. Isn't that something? You may have committed some pretty bad sins. You need to repent of them, turn to God and beg for forgiveness, and then say, Lord, open my lips, my mouth may praise thy name. You may be surprised what praise may come out of your life, out of your lips. Now I want to talk about sacrifice a little bit. Because we can bring sacrifice. We don't bring animals anymore. But we've got some principles from the Old Testament we can learn. Let me tell you a couple of principles I want to mention to you before I get to some specific sacrifices. One principle is this. God does not demand something you can't do. Here's what I'm saying about that. We know in the Old Testament, I'm not going to turn to these places. You know where they are. Jenny can tell you where they are. You can find them yourself. You've heard it preached before. In the Old Testament, sometimes God would say, I want you to offer an ox. Pretty big animal. Pretty expensive animal. Well, some guys say, I can't do it. You offer a lamb then. You offer a lamb. So there are ox men, there's lamb men. Well, some guy says, I can't even afford a lamb. He says, you offer some birds, offer some turtle doves. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's our God.
Yeah.
You may not be able to do what some else can do. Mm-hmm. Even on giving money, you may not can. But you remember that thing about the widow's mite in the Bible? All these rich guys were throwing in those big old sacks of money, feeling pretty proud of themselves. Now, they should have thrown them in. This poor little widow woman probably felt bad. I can't give her anything. I'm going to put this mite in there, these two mites. And Jesus Christ was watching her. He's watching you today, too. He knows you're doing the best you can or not, my friend. And so he told her disciples, this widow woman has cast in more than they all. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about that, aren't you?
Yeah, amen.
That you do the best you can, my friend. You don't be worried about what you can't do. Just do what you can do. And God will honor that. That's wonderful. That's your time, your effort, your prayers, your money is everything. Giving the best you can. I'm glad it's that way. What a God we got. Now I'll tell you another principle. Don't try to get by with just halfway serving God. You listening to me? We got a whole world of people called Christians halfway serving God. Listen, don't try to put a three-legged sheep over old God. He won't receive it. He said, well, I want you to bring something without blemish that represents Jesus Christ. So we need to do the best we can. I was talking to Jimmy today about we've both been pastoring a long time. And I've seen certain people that put on kind of a show of Christianity. And I'm not saying they weren't born again. They probably were. But they've got a halfway serving God. You can't depend on them. They may be there. They may not be there. They go to church every now and then. They're in the books. They'll be going all the time. But they use, well, I don't think he's going to be here Wednesday night or Sunday night. Well, he may even be here on Sunday. My friend, that's a three-legged sheep. And God ain't going to treat that. You may be sick sometime. He can't go. I'm not saying that. You may not can go with all extenuating circumstances, but if you can, you need to be worshiping God with all your mind. If you ride the fence too long, you're going to fall off on the wrong side. We need to serve God. We got enemies. Your own sinful nature is an enemy.
Yeah.
We're spiritually lazy by nature. We have to make ourselves do what's right sometimes. So anyway, the two principles, one of them is, God won't demand more than you can do, and God expects the best you can give, right? Now, let's go to some specific sacrifices. I'll be through here. One of them may surprise you. Just may surprise you. Guess what? Let me tell you something. A broken heart is a sacrifice to God.
Yeah, amen.
It's right. Uh-huh. You got a broken heart because of sin, that's a sacrifice to God.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he said in Psalm 51:17. I think I just read it. I may mess it up. I want to get every word, just one verse. David had been repenting because he was convicted of what his sin when the prophet showed up to him and God caused him to come to conviction. And he began to repent. So he said here, and it's wonderful. Now, don't you remember that? When you've got a broken heart before God, only he can see it, but that's a sacrifice to God. Psalm 51, verse 15. No, let's see. Not 15.
17.
Huh?
17.
17. Look at 17. The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. I like to see some broken hearts. I'm glad when God breaks my heart sometimes. It ain't very pleasant, but I'm glad when he does it. My friend, when we stand against God, our heart ought to be broken. You kids listen to me, you young people. I'm an 81-year-old man. I know my wife gets tired of me saying that. Every time I say it, she flinches. I can see her flinch. But ain't nothing you can do about it. When I look in the mirror, I tell you what, I have to back off of that. I say, Lord, who's that? But let me tell you, this is serious. At my age, I hate the things I've done that are wrong. But even worse than that, things I should have done and didn't do bother me real bad. You better serve God right now while you're young. I'm glad Greg does a good job on y'all up here this Bible time. Listen, kids, young people, teenagers, young folks, serve God with all your might while you can. You'll be glad you did it.
Amen.
Memorize some scriptures. Read the Bible. Go to church. Do work of service for people. Serve God with all your might. And my friend, you'll be glad when you get to be an old person what you've done, but you'll be sorry what you hadn't done. All right. Now, something else. That, let's read Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. There are two sacrifices, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Two of them. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, I'll read verse 16 in a minute. Let's look at 15, first of all. By him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I said we need to learn how to live a life of doxology. We ought to be praising the Lord. We don't just walk around and say praise God all the time. I mean, we all say a lot, but just you have an attitude of praise.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this, though. Let me tell you something. You know what? Without God, you can do nothing. John 15:5 said, without me, you can do nothing. He meant it. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. I can spell a little bit. He meant it, too. Let me tell you a story about John Warburton, okay? John Warburton was an old-timey Baptist in England. He was poor as Job's old turkey. That's poor. My dad used to say that expression. That's pretty poor. Poor Job's old turkey. That must be poor. And old John had a great big old family. And back in those days, if you were in debt and couldn't pay them, you went to debtor's prison. That's kind of a crazy system. That's what happened. And old John got down so low one time, it looked like he's going to have to go to debtor's prison. And then, I can't tell you all the circumstances, but two or three people came unexpected and gave him enough money to bail him out. Oh, hallelujah. But guess what? He said, I'm going to go over to church now and praise God. You know what happened? He got over here, he couldn't praise God. He couldn't do it. Instead of being thankful, he thought, well, God, you should have sent me a little bit more for what lays ahead. And that's something he hated himself for feeling that way. Then a few days later, he's walking down the street not even thinking about that. And all of a sudden, God gave him the spirit of praise. He began to praise God with all of his might. See, you've got to have God even help you praise.
Yeah, amen.
By him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That the fruit of our lips give thanks to his name. So praise.
Yeah.
Well, also in verse 16 is getting. But to do good and communicate, forget not for such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He means, that's the word communicate there, means to give. So we do the best we can with our finances to be generous toward God and toward his people. I believe the church does that, but I want to encourage you to continue to do even better. On that same line, let's look at Philippians chapter 4 about a sacrifice. Philippians 4. Now this little church, the reason that Paul wrote Philippians is a thank you letter. Because he's in prison in Rome. But this time is a pretty good imprisonment. Not like the one at the end of his life in 2 Timothy. This is a pretty good imprisonment. He gets to write four letters from this prison. He wrote Philemon, Ephesians, and Colossians, and Philippians. And the reason he was able to do that, you find this in the last chapter of Acts. He got to rent his own hired house. He was under a household arrest. They had those Roman soldiers guarding him all the time. But the only way he was able to have that rented house was the money the Philippians had sent him. So that's what I'm talking about right now. The Philippians had sent him enough money that he could have that house, that situation. So let's look down and see this. I'll start in verse 15 and read to where I want to go. Chapter 4, Philippians 4, 15. Starting there, Philippians chapter 4, 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again to my necessity. Not because I desire gifts, I desire fruit that may abound in your account. Now let's look at verse 18. Now they sent him this money, and here's what it was to God. And when you do things, I've heard of Shoal Creek being generous. I know you've given money to people who are bad off. I know that. I know you try to support your ministry. I know that. I want to compliment you on that and to encourage you to keep on trucking.
Amen.
Look what he says. But I have all to abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a sacrifice.
Praise the Lord.
And then finally, here's one that covered all of it. Ready? We'll cover this Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That means everything in our lives is sacrificed to God. When we're working on the job, we're working for God, really. You may be punching a man's time clock, you're really working for God. Do the best you can wherever you're at. If you're working on a job, do the best you can. If you're being a young person at home, obey your parents. That's a sacrifice to God. If you're raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's a sacrifice to God. I present you your body, a living sacrifice to God. One time I heard this story. Don't hear it true or not, but it's a good story. I bet it's true. One time there was a church service going on, and they passed a plate in a particular church. And there was a little bitty boy came to church that day, but a kid, maybe 9 or 10 years old. He didn't have a thing to give. But you know what he did? When the usher brought that plate around, he took that plate, he put that plate on the ground, he stood in that plate and said, God, I ain't got anything, but just take me. Let you be that way. God, man, I hate that you take me. You may get old sometimes and so worn out, you can't even go to church anymore. Or you can't do anything for anybody. You're all crippled up. You know what you can still do? You can pray with all your might. It may be the best thing you've ever done. If you're on the top side of this earth, the reason you're here is because God wants you to be here. When God wants to take you home, He'll take you home. Sometimes God people here a long time in pain. And we wonder why God. One reason is you are valuable to God's kingdom. You're offering up these sacrifices to God, these prayers to God Almighty. He hears those. Now, brethren, let's be wise men and wise women. Let's worship God and give Him sacrifices. May God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.